Now, many of you are old enough to remember and to know Ted Turner, who's now 78 years old. And in my mind, he'll always be infamous for starting the cable news station CNN. Thank you. And also personally giving from his own money $1 billion to the United Nations. And I'm sure some of that went to some good things. I don't think that's where I sent my billion. And he's been a strong critic of fundamental Christianity. Turner said he had a strict Christian upbringing and at one time in his life considered becoming a missionary. He said, I was saved 7 or 8 times. And he said, then I became disenchanted with Christianity after my sister died, despite my prayers. And Turner said, the more I strayed from my faith, the better I felt. Brethren, this is a dangerous place to be. The more I stray, the better I feel. Now, our text, which we touched on to begin our worship, describes an event, which is one aspect of many which will occur preceding the return of the Lord. It will happen before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And it is a falling away. And this is a Greek word pronounced apostasia, where we get our word apostasy. And it means to forsake or to defect, or properly translated in our Bible, a falling away. Now, as I was studying for this message, the seriousness of this teaching did not escape me, and I don't want you to miss it this morning. Now, I also know, having said that, that the preaching from this pulpit is also often heavy and weighty, and I can understand the burden of receiving messages from the Word of God that are weighty and heavy, and it's a continual pressure. But the alternative, brethren, would be light words, smooth words, easy words. When Jesus preached in John chapter 6, the people said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And eventually, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So yes, the word of God is weighty. Just on that note, let me read from you a passage that often convicts me from Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23 and verse 29 declares this. God says this, is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. I mean, the preacher knows the word, he's read it, but he's not going to say it. Behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. How many of them do we have today? Well, the Lord said, and they'll say something that the Lord never said. Behold, I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies that lead the people of God wrong. And by their what? Their lightness. By their lightness. So we don't take the word of God lightly. And the Lord says, yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. So lightness, smooth words, are not going to profit the people of God. God proclaims that. So today our subject is a falling away. And we want to consider the great falling away referred to in our text. But also, sow into the message for your personal consideration, what it means to fall away on an individual basis. Now, we can see from the landscape of Christian history that there are those churches, there is a doctrine and a people which have stood the test of time. And Christ himself proclaimed that the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. And we know that's true. And he said, I'll be with you to the end of the age and to the end of the world. those that are proclaiming the teachings that Christ taught and carrying out the ordinances as Christ gave them, holding fast to the holy word of God as our only sufficient rule, our infallible rule for faith and practice, not removing the ancient landmarks which our fathers have laid, and standing in the way and choosing the old path wherein is the good way, there are still those, and there have been those, that have stood the test of time. But there have been throughout history, and multiplied many in our day, who have claimed and continue to claim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that had rather exalt their own wisdom and reasoning above that which is written and revealed. And as I mentioned, the seriousness of this matter cannot be overstated. So let's sum up just our introduction here for a moment. I'll give you a scripture to do that with. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And I want you to just let this linger in your mind, because this passage tells us exactly what the sermon's about this morning. Hebrews chapter 10. Our text is going to be 2 Thessalonians 2, but we're going to use a number of scriptures. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. The word of God declares this: now the just shall live by faith. It means if you've been justified, you're going to live by trusting God. You can't quit. You're going to stay. You're going to continue to live by trusting the Lord. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Those that draw back away from the Lord is not pleased with that. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. We are not of them that draw back. There are those that draw back. But Paul says, we are not of them that draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So the just live by faith. But those that fall back from faith, the Lord has no pleasure in that. But we don't believe in doing that. We don't do that. We believe the Lord is going to keep us, and he's going to hold us tight, and he's going to confirm us unto the end. This is the truth of the doctrine that I want to talk to you about this morning. This is the teaching we want to bring out. Our passage we're looking at in 2 Thessalonians is in the context of the second coming of Christ to the earth. Let's look at that again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The apostle writes, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering unto him. He's talking about when the Lord comes back and we're caught up to him. That you be not soon shaken in mind, nor troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Don't be worried. First of all, don't be worried about the Lord coming back anyway. No matter what your view is on end times, don't be worried about the Lord coming back. The whole point of it, he's coming back to get you. He's coming back to receive his people. But then he says this: let no man deceive you by any means. That's pretty serious words there. Don't let anybody deceive you by any way they possibly can. Don't let it happen. For that day shall not come except unless there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. This is going to happen before the Lord returns. There will be this great falling away. There are a number of references in the New Testament of a time of moral decay, a time of apostasy of professing Christianity. There's a lot of things that the Bible teaches that happen in the very last days of the last days. But involved in that is a serious moral decline in society and an apostasy from professing Christianity. Look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I want you to see, and these are pretty close together, the passages I want to look at. 1 Timothy chapter 4 supports this very same teaching. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Paul tells Timothy this. He says, the Spirit speaketh expressly. In other words, this is crystal clear. This is the Holy Spirit. This is not my words. It's not my thoughts. This is the Spirit of God. That in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of devils. Now, when he talks about departing from the faith, he's talking about the faith. He's talking about the faith once delivered to the saints. There's going to come a time when the doctrine that was handed down from the apostles down to the churches, to the next church, down through the ages, that doctrine, that set of teachings that was handed from Christ to the apostles, to the first century churches, all the way down to today, he said there's coming a time when in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. They'll turn away from it. And what are they going to do? They're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. This is a doctrinal apostasy. Turning away from true doctrine. God's elect people can, by the way, and I'm going to make this point periodically to just reassure you, and before I'm done, this is what I want to do. But God's elect people can never truly fall away. God's elect people can never truly fall away from God. And we will continue to see that. Because Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. And the last day's deceptions that Christ talked about in the Gospels and the teachings that we're looking at here and the teachings of the Apostle Paul, these deceptions shall not deceive the elect of God. You realize that, brother? If you are elect of God, you're going to go, that's not true. That's not right. That's not Christ. That's not the Word of God. That's a tinkling in my ear. That's not ringing right. And you're going to know it because God's going to protect His elect from those things. This deception that's coming upon the world in the very last days. The moral decay will come, and along with that will come a doctrinal apostasy and a great deception. But it will not deceive the very elect of God. But there is, although Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith, and we stand firm in that, we have confidence in that, regardless of these things taking place, there is a temporary faith. And I'm reminded of our dear brother Dean Robinson spoke just a few weeks ago about a temporary faith. And not all that glitters is gold. And not all professors are possessors. And this passage gives us an example. And this is talking about ministries. This is talking about doctrinal ministries which are influenced by devils. Verse 2 says, they're speaking lies and hypocrisy. So they say one thing and do the other. Why is it a lie? Because they say this and then they do this. They say one thing, but then they do another. And their actions don't match up with their teaching. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. They can tell you with a straight face. They can look straight in your eye and tell you that God said this, and this is what we believe, and this is the way that it is, and not have one qualm about it, and it's not a thing to do with the Word of God. Their conscience seared with a hot iron. Forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats. We're talking about new marriage rules. My brethren, new marriage rules. Rules for marriage. Coming into professing Christianity. Do we not see that in the day we're living in? Then we see religious rules for food. Religious rules for food. Forbidding to marry and abstaining from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. He goes on to say that every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. And I remember Brother Joe Bell, one of my first mentors and teachers, every time he'd eat a piece of ham or a piece of bacon, he'd say, we got to stop and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because the Bible says it's good to have as long as you're thankful. But that's what the word of God teaches. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice here, and we're talking about passages that allude to, teach, this coming moral decay and falling away. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. That means difficult times to live in. There's times coming when it's going to be very difficult to live in those times. And John Gill says this means it will be calamities. Times of bad business dealings, scarcity for products and things that are needed, murderous people who are religious professors. Very difficult times to live in, confusing and difficult. They will make the times extra difficult because of the religious aspect of it, because of the moral hypocrisy involved in it. Everyone's taking the moral high ground. Everyone thinks they're righteous, and everyone's claiming to be righteous, but yet we have all of these wicked things occurring with it, and it'll make the times extra difficult. Hard to live soberly. John Gill continues to say, it will be hard to live soberly and righteously in these times. Religious evil men professing Christ. Notice verse 2. It says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. What's that? All about me. When you boil it down, it's all about me. Whatever I profess to claim to believe, it really boils down, if you watch my actions and you watch my life, it's really all about me. Everything's just about self. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Brother, I stop every time I stop on that, and I think, unthankful, because I look at all the prayers in the Word of God. When you learn how to pray, brethren, if you want to learn how to pray, you have to have this one element for sure. If you want to pray and have power with God in prayer, and you want heaven to move on your behalf, you need to learn to be thankful to God. And if I could say anything about the society we're living in today, it's an unthankful people. God has blessed us above anybody in the history of the world. No nation has ever been so wealthy and rich and blessed with the Word of God and the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, preachers sent to this country, raised up in this nation to bless the people, and unthankful people. It says unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And just go down the list, and it's just incredible. The affection's not there. They'll go back on their word. They'll accuse you falsely. They have no self-control. Boy, they'll get angry and fierce with you. And they do not like that which is good. They'll go against it. Traitors, heady, high-minded. That means they know what's right, and you can't talk to them. Do we not live in a world like that? Everybody knows what's right, don't they? And they don't have a clue what the Word of God says, nor do they care. But they know. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Doesn't matter what God's Word says. I know, because I know. Brethren, there's going to be a day of reckoning for that. You don't want to meet the Lord having spent your life saying, I know, I'm going to do what I want to do. That sounds like me before I was saved, brethren. It really does. Shreddy, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. A form of godliness. That's the danger that John Gill spoke of in these other passages. When this time comes, what's going to make it such a difficult, perilous times to live in, because there's those that have the form of godliness, and they look at you and go, why aren't you getting in the boat with us? Why aren't you you're the problem. You Bible-believing fundamental people that will not get off of it. We're progressing here. But we deny the power. But yet we have the form. Eternal show. Like wearing a mask and claiming to agree with the Word of God, but it isn't in their heart. They claim to believe the Word of God, but they do not apply the Word of God to their life. They do not love and cherish the Word of God. And in works, they do deny the faith that they claim to believe. And it says, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. These are the kind of people that'll... Brother Billy, watch out. They creep into houses and they take gullible women and lead them away. Watch out. When you have a society, when that's happening, where marriages are going that direction, the next thing you know, you got more and more and more trouble. And these things are coming upon us. Verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Learning and learning and learning and knowing so much. I know everything. I know all these things. I know everything going on in the world. I can tell you all the politics of what's happening in the world and all the science of what's happening in the world. Oh, yes, and I know the basic Christian things I learned in Sunday school and in church, and I know enough, but you guys are stuck in that rut. You need to listen to me because I'm learning, and I'm learning, and I'm knowledgeable, and I'm smart, and I have all of this education, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. That's the type of thing it will be. Look over in chapter 4, if you would, what Paul tells Timothy to do regarding this type of thing. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Now, I don't know of another place in where a charge is laid quite like this and all of these heavy things laid on top of it. I charge you because it's your responsibility. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, the judge, who's going to appear, who has a kingdom. What do you do? Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with long-suffering and doctrine. Brethren, we don't have a lot of reproving and rebuking going on today, nor does anybody want, not does very many people want to hear reproving and rebuking in our day. I don't want to be told what the word of God has to say. Don't tell me what the Word of God has to say. I want you to give me some entertainment. I want some show. I want something going on. Give me a feel-good church service, and I'll continue to go. And don't beat me up with the Word of God. I don't want to hear that. I'm not coming to church to get knocked down. I'm coming to church to get lifted up. Now, brethren, the Word of God does lift us up. But sometimes there's weighty matters in the Word of God, and we have to proclaim the Word of God. And Paul clearly tells Timothy, this is the purpose for the preaching, is to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering. And what? Doctrine. Doctrinal message. Teaching the doctrines of the Word of God. Why? Why does he say to do that? Why do we herald out and convict people and admonish people with the Word of God? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There's a time coming they will not endure it. There's a time coming when the people sitting in the pews in a Bible-preaching church, a Bible-proclaiming church, will get up and walk out and not come back. They will not endure the Word of God. The time coming they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. And I mean heaps upon heaps of teachers tickling the ears. Scratching the ears. What do you want to hear today? Let's send out a poll into the community. Brethren, they do it. I've got them in the mail at my house. What are you looking for in a church? What would you like to have? Online polls, email surveys. What would you like to have out of your preaching? What would you like to have out of church? And that's what they're doing today. How can I tickle your ears? And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, stories. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. What's that mean? It means it's going to be hard. It means it's going to be hard. This is not going to be an easy thing. We're not going to be sitting back on the sofa going, oh yeah, we're the true people of God. We have the Word of God. And yeah, look at all that mess out there. No, it's going to be hard on us. It's going to be hard on the people of God. That's why he says, endure these afflictions. These will be afflictions upon the church. Not just something we look at and admire or are amazed at. It's going to affect us. And he says, watch thou in all things and endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof thy ministry. And these are all references to this falling away, this moral decay, and this great falling away of the last days before Christ returns. But do not fail to make a personal application to yourself. This is so important to consider because the New Testament has so much to say about it. Just listen to these words that James says. I just want this to ring in your ears. And these are just passages that come to my mind. James chapter 5, verse 19. On a personal application, and I said as we go along, I'm going to sow in a few of these. But James chapter 5, verse 19, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Do you want to hear smooth words? Do you want to have things that just lay easy on your ears? Or do you want somebody that says, hey, I want to turn you from going that way. I want to turn you from that way. Because he says here, if you turn them and you convert them, then you convert a sinner from the error of his way. You save that soul from death. You say, what are you talking about, brother? I thought you believed in the perseverance of the saints. I do believe the perseverance of the saints. You say, I thought you believed in once saved, always saved. Absolutely believe in once saved, always saved. But I'll tell you this, if you have a faith that does not endure, you're going to be lost. And if we can take those that the Bible warns over and over and over and help them make sure that they know the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what it's speaking of. You want to know that you know him. Now, Jesus also spoke of these times that would come in Matthew chapter 24. And the lessons that we're learning are timeless principles. But there's a time in which there will be a great falling away in the midst of other end times events taking place. And that's how you'll know that that's it. You say, how do we know that it's this one? Well, it'll be in the midst of other end times events taking place. And they will happen together as the Scripture teaches. Matthew 24. Notice these words in verse 32 that Jesus says. And we're going to get into a little bit more of chapter 24, but notice just these words, verse 32. He says, learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. Springtime's come, you see the leaves begin to bud on the trees, you know that summer is coming. So likewise ye, when ye shall see these things, know that it is near, even at the door. So you can know, he's telling us that we can know that when these things come to pass, and notice verse 33, how many of these things? All these things. You say, how do we know? Because I talk to people that maybe covenant theology, they don't believe end times, premillennial doctrine, like we do in this church. And they'll say, well, those things have happened all through the ages. They've never happened all at once. And that's what this is. And when you see all these things come to pass, when they all begin to happen together, then you know that it's near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. When all these things happen together at the same time, that generation watching it will not pass until it all happens, till the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And that's what we're looking forward to coming. Back up in Matthew 24 to verse 4. Notice here. Verse 4, and as I said, this great deception, this time of moral decay and falling away happens within the events of other things, within the scope of a great number of end time events. Verse 4, Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, I'm not for sure you may can enlighten me. I take this two different ways. They're going to come claiming they're Christ. There have been those. And they'll come claiming that Christ is Christ. But yet they're deceivers. And they'll deceive many using the name of Christ. How many false ministries, brethren, have the giant words, Jesus is Lord, written behind the preacher as he's preaching, and every word spewing out of his mouth is nothing but trash. So here we see that coming to pass. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So there'll be wars, rumors of wars, at the same time when there's false teachers claiming the name of Christ, but yet teaching false doctrine. And nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines, that means countries against countries, and people groups against other people groups. People groups fighting that aren't necessarily country nations. Famines, starvation, pestilence, earthquakes, in diverse places, different calamities. All these are the beginning of sorrows. This isn't the end. This is when it begins. This is when you see all these things come to pass. These are the beginning of the sorrows. And then he says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And somebody said, well, that was the Jews. The Jews did not die for the Lord Jesus Christ, brethren. This is Christians. For my name's sake. You say, that couldn't happen to us. Have you read the Dark Ages? Have you read what the Catholics did? Have you read what Muslims have done to Christians just in the last few years? Radical Islam, excuse me. Have you read? Have you seen it? Have you noticed? You say, that couldn't possibly happen. They wouldn't do that. brethren, promise and promise and promise again from the Word of God that you'll be persecuted. So we think persecution is when I share the gospel with somebody at the grocery store and they look at me funny. Brethren, you haven't seen persecution. This is persecution. They deliver you up, they'll hate you, and shall kill you, and you'll be afflicted. And then, brethren, notice this. This is where we get into the lesson this morning. And then shall many be offended. Brethren, this is not talking about ungodly people, hateful, ungodly, definite, clear, wicked people being offended. This is talking about professing Christians being offended at one another. And shall betray one another, turning on one another, hating one another. They're not gonna, this isn't a warning that they're always hating us. They're always, don't be surprised that the world hates you. This is talking about the world. This is talking about within professing Christianity. And many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. Remember, I said all these things happen together at one time. And brethren, verse 12, if verse 12 doesn't break your heart, and because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold because of so much sin and wickedness permeating society. And brethren, let me tell you, we're living in a wicked day. We're living in a time, brethren. And dare I say, challenge me if you shall, and I will repent if I'm wrong, but we're living in a day that's more wicked than any day in the history of this world. Look around the world. You have a sewer pipe on the internet pumping into your household. People hating one another. All these scriptures of pride and boastful and lovers of self and all being fulfilled. We're living in a wicked time. And brethren, because of that, because of the iniquity, and there's going to be a time when it's going to abound, and sin's going to abound so much. And I alluded to sexual sin, and brethren, it is awful. And we're talking about drug abuse, and we're talking about political wickedness in high places, and I could go on and on and on. And some poor lady just won $700 million in a lottery. I saw that. Boy, her life is ruined. And more sin than you can shake a stick at. You can't walk out the door without sin in your face. And because of the massive amount of iniquity, the love of many shall wax cold. It's talking about in the church. It's talking about the love of God's people, our professing Christians, will wax cold. We need to be on the lookout. We need to be on the lookout for these things. But he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So here's just a microcosm of a great number of events. And all these things happen together when this falling away occurs. Go over with me to verse 34, if you would. Notice again, I said before, I noted verse 34. He says, verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So if there's something written in this book that's supposed to happen, it's going to happen. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Brother Jim Gaylor used to say, I know when the Lord's coming back. And I'd wait for somebody to go, okay, when? In a time that you think not. It says, as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. It's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now notice, brethren, he was talking about Noah's family. Noah's family was preparing. But the world at large was going about their business. And as far as they're concerned, everything was fine. As far as they was concerned, everything was hunky-dory. And they're going around, doing whatever they want to do, going to and fro, marrying, giving in marriage. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. They didn't know. And the judgment of God come upon them. And that's what's going to happen to this world. this wicked world is going to continue to go on and on, like the Lord's never coming back. It's not going to matter. Where's the promise of his coming? Everything continues as it was since the beginning of the world. Where's that promise? That promise isn't going to happen. And then he's coming, and it will be too late. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two shall be in the field, and one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now, he didn't say you won't know the season. He didn't say you wouldn't know the time surrounding it. He didn't say you wouldn't know when it's getting close. He said you didn't know exactly the very hour when it's happening. All right, why would he tell us to watch for all these things? Why would he give us all these signs? I want to continue through this passage just a minute. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Or as if you knew this, the only things are coming, you need to be watching. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful, wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? What's that mean? That means the preacher needs to be preaching what's happening at the time in due season. Meet in due season. One thing it means is if a person's not ready to learn a particular doctrine, hold up a little bit. Help them grow along. But also preach certain things that are pertinent. Verse 46, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. And remember, we're making a personal application. Think of yourself. Oh, the Lord's delaying his coming. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. What if the church of God is bickering and fussing with one another and drinking and living? What's he mean? It doesn't mean they're running around absolutely drunk and just, you know, sinning just like the world. But they're kind of living like the world. And you look at them, they don't look any different than the world. And he says, what? What if you're going along and you're doing like this and you're no different than the world? The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him. Why? Why is he not looking? Because he's not watching. Because he doesn't care about the coming of the Lord. Because he's not really caring about the things of the Lord. Because all he cares about the things of the world. So he's going to come when he's not aware. And shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you're going to find out that that person wasn't even saved. Brother and order, God has some serious things to say. You muddle along. I'll just worry about that later. I don't really care about the things of God. Things of God aren't that important. Things of God aren't that important. Please, look carefully at what God's Word is telling us. A time of moral decay. A love of professing believers waxing cold. Many falling away from the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Falling away from the apostles' doctrine. Religious and political deception. And notice in our text what the Lord does. Notice what he does during these times. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we didn't read verse 4. Let's start there. Verse 4. Now, there's going to be a falling away and the man of sin revealed before the Lord comes back. And he says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that's called God or this worship, so that he setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This man is going to set in the temple of God. I personally believe he's going to set in Jerusalem and claim to be God himself. And this man's going to come. He's going to claim that there's going to be peace. We're going to talk about the Antichrist actually tonight. But this is the Antichrist. And he's going to come. This man's going to come on the scene and is a man. Now, there are many Antichrists. There's a spirit of Antichrist and deception has been in the world since the first century. It was already here. John talked about it. But there will be a man that comes upon the scene. And he will claim to bring peace. And there's going to be a time of upheaval, a time of trouble, like all these passages we're talking about. These things will come to pass, and this man will stand up and he'll say, I am the man to bring peace. Listen to me, everything will be fine. But he is a lying and it's not going to happen. It won't be peace. But he's going to claim it. He's going to take power. And he opposes God. He shows himself to be God. And remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might reveal in his time. For the mystery of iniquity that hath already worked. And I talked about that. That mystery of iniquity, that spirit of Antichrist, has been working ever since the time of the apostles. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And that's about the Lord's restraining power. The Lord's restraining all of this wickedness until this time comes. And then when the Holy Spirit's taken away from that and that wickedness is allowed to go forth, you're going to see things happen that aren't going to be very pleasant. And then shall that wicked be revealed. What? The Antichrist, the beast, the man of sin, whom the Lord shall consume, praise God, with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. He won't be able to stand the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ will destroy him at his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. This man will be possessed by Satan. You know, there's those that are possessed by Satan. There's those that are influenced by Satan. This man is truly Satan in the flesh. This man is truly possessed, controlled by Satan himself. With all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, why? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They'll follow after him. Because they do not love the truth, that they might be saved. Verse 11, very important. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. In the midst of all of these things happening, where these people are professing to be religious, but yet they deny the Lord in works, and they deny the power of God, and they deny the truth of the Word of God, and they will not have Christ to reign over them, the Lord's going to send a strong delusion that people will believe a lie. Now we're still talking about religious deception here, not just political deception, but religious deception. People, what kind of lies could they possibly believe? How about, well, evolution fits with the Bible, right? You know, God created the world with evolution because science proves it, right? And they'll be deluded enough to believe that. How about, well, Christ could have sinned. I mean, surely he's just a man, right? He's not really all that. He could have possibly sinned, but we still believe in Jesus. That could be believed. What about, surely hell isn't real. If I was God, I wouldn't send people to hell because it couldn't be a hell, so we don't believe in hell anymore. A delusion. They go ahead and believe that. Or maybe a doctrine that says Jesus could be part of your life. Maybe you could just go ahead and live however you want to, but claim to be a Christian. That'd be fine. God don't mind. And this delusion will come upon you, and you'll be allowed to believe that. Make personal application. Make a personal application to yourself. Could you possibly fall for those things? To say that Jesus is just kind of like an accessory in your life, and you could just have him, and he's just glad that you claim his name. That's the kind of thing that's being taught. And it says that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. What happened? They had pleasure in themselves. They boasted in themselves. They loved the things of the world. They followed after the things of the world. They would not have Christ to reign over their life. They did not care about the church of God. They did not love the word of God. They had pleasure in unrighteousness. And what's happening now? It's too late. Now you're deluded. Now you're completely deceived. And you will not be saved. So this is why we must sound the warning in the church. I have way too much to go. I'm going to have to wind it down. There's a lot of references to these passages, a lot of references to these type of things. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For after that they escaped the pollution of this world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It's saying it had been better not to even name the name of Christ and live like that than to claim Christ and to live like the world and then to meet him one day having professed his name. Revelation 3:11, Jesus tells the church, Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. James 1:12, Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Hebrews 3:12, Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Brethren, it's time to stand for the Lord. It's time to trust in the Lord and prepare to trust in God. It is a time in this world. I wish I had different news, but I always have the good news of the gospel. But I'm telling you, brethren, we're living in a time when it's a time for you to prepare to trust the Lord. It's a time to even more now in the darkness to trust the Lord double, to hold on to what you've learned in the light and to trust the Lord with all your heart. And what I mean is to trust His preserving grace. See, those who depart from God with a heart of unbelief, they, the Bible says, went out from us and they walked away from Christ, but they were not of us. That if they were truly of us, they would have continued with us, or they would have continued in the Word of God. And they went out from us that it may be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now, that passage isn't talking about just folks leaving your church. Somebody leaves my church, they weren't. It's talking about people who leave the faith. They no longer follow the Lord. So how do I know? How do we know who is who? Well, for some, this message already made an answer to that question clear enough to you, but I know there are others like myself that want real clarity, serious clarity on this issue. How do we know an apostate from a potential apostate, from a genuine child of God? Well, John says you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things, and you know the truth. I can't outdo the Holy Spirit. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know the truth. And let me tell you, brethren, you want God in your life. You desire God, and you hunger and you thirst after righteousness, and you do not enjoy it when you sin. And you cannot continue to boast in self when you fail and you sin and you dishonor God. You just cannot do it. You hate it, and you're ashamed before God when you do so. And you know that you're guilty, and you know that Christ is your only hope, and it breaks your heart, and you hate it when you fail, and you hate it when you fall, and you look back over time and you realize that you only made it through this because of the Lord, and you have to give Him credit, and you say, there's no way I could have possibly made it but for the Lord, and you're the person you are because of what He's brought you through, and you know that. You know that that's the truth, and in your heart, you want to glorify God. You want to obey the Lord, and sometimes you're pulled away by sin, and sometimes you're pulled away by the flesh, and sometimes you're beaten up by Satan, but you want to honor God in your life, and you hate your sin, and the sin that's around you, and the devastation that it causes, it grieves your heart, and you want to live in the gospel, and you see the sufferings of Christ, and you realize that that's your path too to live on, and you say, yes, I can endure it through the gospel and through the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know it's not an easy road, but it's a road that I can't get off of. I can't get off of it because He laid hold on me, and He that's begun a good work in your heart will perform that work until the day of Christ. And we know that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise because Christ has given us eternal life. And He's promised us that we shall never perish. And we are in His hand, and we're in the Father's hand, who is greater than all. And we shall never perish. And you say, I've come to Christ, and He will not cast me out. And I'm not just a professor, but I'm a possessor. And I count it no small thing that Christ died for me. He gave His life for me. He died on the cross for me. He suffered for me. And I will live and die for Him. But I struggle. And I fight. And I fight this old flesh nature. And I fight Satan along the way. But I know that I'm His. Because I'm passed from death unto life. And I love the brethren. And I regard the Word of God. And it is very, the very absolute, authoritative Word of God, and I'm convinced of it. No one convinced me otherwise that the Bible is the Word of God. And I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and nothing could possibly change my mind. I have no hope in myself and all my hopes in Him. And I have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous. And that is my only hope. And my faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. But I trust the ever-living One. His wounds shall plead for me. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. Christ says to His disciples, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things that ye see and have not seen them, and hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. So again, I have to turn 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 to close. He says in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. That day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. A great falling away. And then verses 9 through 12, we see a great delusion. There's going to be deceivableness from Satan and from the Antichrist, and they won't receive the love of the truth. And then on top of that, God shall send a strong delusion throughout the world that they'll follow this wicked system, religious system, world system, Antichrist system. But then, brethren, verse 13, Paul says, "But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Paul turns it on its head, and he says, "For you, brethren, we're thankful. Why are you saved? Why am I not talking about you?" He says, "Because God has chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. As he set you apart by his Spirit, caused you to walk in paths of righteousness, giving you a belief for the truth of the Word of God. And you cannot turn back because he's chosen you for that." And he says, this is the experience. "He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Have you heard the gospel message? Have you heard the Word of God in your heart calling you? Have you heard the gospel message in this ear? And then it went down and touched the heart. And you said, "I believe in the heart, and I confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus as my Savior." Those can't fall away. Those cannot be deceived. Let's pray.